Hey all, welcome to another episode of Handmade Pennsylvania. My name's Josh Myers, and this time I'm talking with Andy and Jamie of Down Greenville Road. Listen in as this couple takes old unwanted materials, upcycles them into beautiful farmhouse decor. All right. Hi, Andy and Jamie. Thanks for meeting with me. You guys are from Down Greenville Road. I really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day to talk to me and share your craft and a little bit about your business. So I saw it looks like you guys got started about 2 years ago when you bought a shed to kind of be your workspace. Is that what kicked all this off?
Yeah. I've always enjoyed and my free time before when we were working, I used to bill medical insurance for a surgery center. And Andy was a welder fabricator. And like once a year I would join this like craft show and we would set, I would paint on stuff that basically I would find at like yard sales, like things that I could paint on. And you would do some wood stuff for me. Yeah. But at the time we didn't have,
We didn't have much equipment. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the workshop or anywhere for him to do the wood stuff. So, we were, you know, the 1 year we did pretty good at the one show and you had what kind of car?
I had a Camaro, an old Camaro. And, we talked about selling it and taking a chance and buying a shed and
cause you weren't getting, you weren't fixing it up.
Yeah,
it just sat in our garage
for the last 20 years. So, figured do something that I'm going to work on, you know, and
so we took a couple thousand of it and went and got the little shed, which for us, like that was a big step. I was thinking, what are we doing? Yeah. And the shed came in and we signed up and we did one show. And after the show, we're like, well, that went pretty good. And that was fun. And we liked working together. So we thought, well, let's try another one. Yeah. So we did like our first official, like, big show was October 2017, and that's where it just kept, you know, we kept building off of that one show.
That's awesome. So you were doing shows before you had the shed?
Yeah, yeah, like once a year I would just paint on like old pots or like enamel bowls, or we would get like old shutters and make something out of old shutters. It was basically like upcycled or found items. You know, like I find at like yard sales or something, because we didn't have, you know, all the saws and stuff like that to make everything that we do now.
Okay.
So like once a year I would just do it just for, you know, Christmas money, you know, to get stuff for the kids or because I liked crafting and creating. So it kind of let me get all my like creative voodoo vibes out there once a year.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't hold that in.
No, no. When you're a maker, it just gotta come out.
It's so true. That's awesome. So how did you, you said you did one show a year. Was it the same show or you just randomly pick one? How would you decide on what show to do?
It was actually our kid's babysitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was her once a year. She would have a show out. It started out of her home where she would have just a couple local makers and she would set it up in her garage and living room and people would come two weekends and just kind of, it was set up like a shop in a way. So like I would drop off all of our stuff and then she would set it up and then people would come and shop for those 2 weekends. And then I would go back after those 2 weekends and pick up, you know, whatever didn't sell.
Oh, that's nice. You didn't have to be there at a table engaging with everybody, and because that can be a little exhausting at times, at least for me.
Yeah. I'm the people. I like talking to people.
I do too, but it doesn't come without giving some energy. And I know at the end of the day, I'm whooped. I mean, I love doing it and it's fun, but it's exhausting.
That is very true. Yeah. Especially after even setting up or like waking up early to go to a show and then setting up. And then you have to, you know.
Right. Yeah, you got to have your game face on and sell.
Yeah, yeah. Mountain Dew.
So what else, like you mentioned some equipment that maybe you have acquired since you first started that helped you build out some things. Were there any things in particular for somebody that was kind of interested in getting started or any tips or pieces that are really important?
Yeah, I just got in the shed. I got a bandsaw, a radio arm saw, like a miter saw, a drill press, and I got a sander in there. I'm hoping to get a planer, you know, to plane down some wood, the rough wood. But yeah, that's about the equipment I have. And I mean, the shed's kind of little.
And, yeah, we've outgrown the shed.
I keep saying we need a bigger shed, but.
In time.
Yeah.
Hey, that's good problems to have, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
So it sounds like it's a lot of like woodworking equipment to kind of cut the pieces down or shape them up. And and then
I got a lot of hand tools too, and you know, the cordless saws and drills and stuff like that, and just everything to make it a little easier, you know. And
yeah, for sure. So you guys get most of your materials just flea markets, found, dumpster diving? I mean, where a lot of it sounds like it's all repurposed or reused pieces from barns and around the area.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Some of our wood is newer.
Yeah, on some of the signs.
Yeah, some of the signs we have to use new wood because barn wood isn't always friendly. Because once he makes our items, then I freehand letter them with a pencil and an eraser. And then I go over it with a paintbrush. So barn wood is not, it may look really cool, but it is not, when I have to letter on it, I'm like, so a lot of our signs, probably over 50% are newer, but we use like tobacco lath and stuff for frames to frame out our signs too.
I gotcha. So it's a combination of new and old, and then add some art flair to it. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
So what kind, do you use any special paints or is it all the same paint? What kind of brushes? I'm a terrible painter.
I'm a paintbrush hoarder.
Yeah.
Okay. I do not.
Like 100 of them.
Yeah. Love them. They're my babies and everything, but I do not have like a favorite one. You know, I'll just go to a local craft store. And, you know, if I notice a couple of the bristles are looking wonky on one while I'm there, I just pick up another packet. Your normal paintbrushes, and I have a 50% off coupon, so it's like even a better score. And in terms of paint, I do use a lot of like folk art paint. You can buy big jugs of it on Amazon, just because it's a thicker paint than the ones that you may find at like Walmart and stuff like that. Those are thinner, so it takes a couple, you know, you have to let it dry and then you have to go back over it, which you have to have a steady hand then because you need to stay inside your paint lines that you initially put on there. So
you do
yourself a favor by spending more on paint because then you can get it usually the first time instead of having to take you're out of your own time to do it over and over again.
Right. And like you said, then it gets more complicated trying to follow the exact same line each time. So you get that consistent dark, otherwise you get different shades, I imagine.
Yeah. Or a letter will get thicker. And I'm like, it's got to be thicker. Nobody will know. Until
and then
now.
You start creating. Yeah. And you have a new font that you created.
Yeah.
So how do you choose fonts? I mean, maybe this is something that's just natural to an artistic person, but do you get inspiration from somewhere when doing the lettering, or is it just kind of freehand?
Like, do you want to see one that I literally just did this? And we don't always paint. Like, listen, gnomes are everywhere right now. And somebody asked me to paint a gnome, and now we have quite a few orders for them this season. So I'm all doing all different kinds of gnomes, but literally up until 2 minutes before we came on here, I was finishing this one up, and I just freehand. It's my own handwriting. So when people ask me, well, can you do this font? I'm like, listen, it's the Jamie font. Like I can't imitate anything else because it's just what I sketch out. I don't trace anything or use a stencil, but like here was one. It's just like, I painted the little gnome reindeer. Yeah. And then I did it, and it's probably backwards, but it says dashing through the snow.
That's
and then
nice.
It's just, thanks. But it's just how, it comes out. And I have days where my lettering is good, and then I have days where I'm like, you know what, I need to do something else today. We'll come back to the lettering tomorrow.
Yeah, I can imagine. My handwriting is not very neat, and if I tried to do something that was any kind of stylized, I don't think it'd be very consistent.
Or I love the days too where, like, if I'm writing, you know, like, you know, if you go to do a straight line and it's straight, but it has that little angle. And I'm like, well, you know, they say do how your handwriting goes reflects your mood. And I'm like, well, I must've been in a positive mood that day because it was going up.
It's a good initial baseline to see how the day is going. Just draw a line. That's awesome. What is your favorite part of this whole thing? Creating the business aspect, selling, meeting people. What do you think is the most fun for you? And it could be different for either of you. I mean, maybe you guys don't have the same answer.
I know, it's like you said, meeting a lot of nice people. Like, we made a lot of friends, new mm-hmm. friends and customers, you know, and
yeah. They're like on our own personal Facebook page now. People that started out as customers, and they would joke around and they would call us our stalkers.
Yeah.
You know, when we started to go to more shows, they'd be like, because down Greenville Road's a mouthful. So we usually just say DGR till, like, a lot on our page. And people have started referring to us now just as DGR. And they'll be like, we're the DGR stalkers. But now they're friends. So we have met a lot of people.
And just seeing their reaction, like when we do a custom order for someone, like, they're so excited, you know, about the product we make, and it's really cool. It makes us feel good, you know, that,
you know, and for some of them, like, it was a sign to us or something else, mostly a sign, but, like, and then when they would come to pick it up or we would ship it, you know, we've had people that have lost loved ones, and, like, they were having us write out a quote that was, like, their loved one's favorite quote. Or, you know, a child who was born, you know, with some, like, birth defects, and that their child was a fighter, and this was the line that they use, and now it's going to hang, like, in the baby's nursery. So, you know, a lot of times we don't know the backstory until people share it with us, and then knowing too that they entrust us to make something that means a lot to them, that makes it that much more meaningful to us than what we do.
Yeah, that's got to feel good, because as a handmade maker, I mean, that's kind of the joy of it for the consumer and for the maker, because it's personalized. It's unique. Like, it's your handwriting. It's mm-hmm. not printed on a machine. It comes with heart, and mm-hmm. you don't get that at Target.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
So you guys do a lot of in-person shows now that you're kind of in full swing?
No, we did 2 years ago, our first season from October, was it 14th to December 14th? I think we did like 10 shows. A little crazy. Yeah. It was a little cray cray. I would not recommend that to anybody.
That's a lot.
Because we were working full time at the time still. We both had off. Well, no, you were working Monday through Friday, like over 50 hours. I was working Monday through Thursday, 40 hours. And then we have three kids. So, that was a little lot.
Yeah.
It sounds like it.
So last year we did scale back.
Yeah. We cut back.
Yeah. Bit. And then this year we only did one show since October. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the only other show we're doing is at our youngest elementary school. They're having a little show in the cafeteria for the kids and parents to come shopping. So, you know, that I think, you know, we're big in our community. We live in a small town. So that, but he made me promise not to sign up.
I said, we already got enough on our plate for the holiday season here. And
because we sell primarily through our Facebook page. Usually we'll do one live show, like a sale per month on our page. And then people just messaging us, like if they see something, they'll say, hey, and they'll just message us through there. We have a website, but I don't have a lot of stuff on the website. I don't update it often because everybody contacts us through Facebook. And then we're in two shops too. Okay. So yeah, so that alone, and we want to make sure that, you know, as much as we love our business, we love our life too. And that's a very hard balance, especially when you work at home. You know, we do not get a day off. We are guilty of doing something working every single day. But we do schedule in and say, okay, like last Friday when all the kids were home from school, because our kids are 14, 13, and 10. And we're like, okay, everybody's home from school. We're going to go to the park and, like, you know, you guys threw football and, yeah, around, and the other was on the scooter. And even though it was like an hour and some, it still felt good just to get outside and like stop what we were doing and just be a family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's the flexibility of working for yourself and having a home-based business is a big draw to a lot of people. I know it's one of my drivers. Money isn't everything. It's our time. And it's awesome to be able to do that and spend time with family.
Mm-hmm.
How does the Facebook live sale work? Could you tell me more about that? So you go on and just do a live stream on your phone or iPad or something and kind of hold up items and wait for people to comment or message you after it's over?
Mm-hmm. Basically, we tag team everything. We do a lot of Facebook lives on our page. Even if it's just me painting, a lot of times we'll go on, we call them Friday nonsense.
Yeah,
okay. We have nothing to say, but we'll just
we just go on and wing it.
We just go on and wing it like this, and we just start talking to everybody, and they've kind of gotten used to, like, hey, Andy and Jamie are we're gonna be talking Friday about nothing, but we go on. But the live shows, we kind of put together like a conglomeration of, you know, some signs and some decor items, and sometimes you don't even really realize the amount of work that goes into a live show. You know, a lot of people probably just think, oh, they just hop on and here they are live. But we do it together. He's on the side then, you know, writing down, you know, I created comments. A list. Like, I have to number everything. I have to measure everything. I have to put, you know, the item number and then the price. And then he has a list that I typed out with the item number and the price. And then how many spaces, you know, he writes down the person's name. And then you do the live sale, which this may be a shocker, but I can be a talker. So like our live sales, our shortest one was what, like an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The longest was an hour and 45 minutes. And, I mean, we do pretty well with them.
Yeah, you basically hold up the sign and say the dimensions and what it is and what's it made out of. And
then people, you know, comment sold, number, blah, blah, blah. And then he records it. And then the next day they'll message our page. And then I have to send them an invoice. And if it's shipping, then we got to call all hands on deck to wrap everything, because it's just he and I. Luckily, now my parents are snowbirds, so they retired younger, and they do the Florida Pennsylvania split. Right now they split from us and they're in Florida. So but my in-laws are our neighbors, so a lot of times my mother-in-law, she'll come up here and help me like sort through piles or, you know, wrap packages and stuff like that. So
I imagine shipping some of those items can be not super convenient.
Yes.
No. We actually had one that it's not cheap either. And like, we are not business guru. Like, we are learning this as we go. You know, I'll look up stuff on, you know, Pinterest, or, you know, like I said, I'm in a paid business group where, you know, I try to learn different things. And most of it, though, we're winging it. And shipping, like, it costs a lot just to buy the materials to package your items. You know, and like you said earlier, we're not Target and Walmart. I don't know how they ship their stuff for free. It must be the mass quantity, because a lot of times we're eating our time to wrap the item. and the materials to wrap the item. And some of our stuff like has been in huge boxes. And one time a lady ordered something out in Washington State. No lie, it was not heavy. It was a big box, but it was not heavy. I could have held it with one hand, balanced it, but it was a big box.
Just the size of the box.
$135.
Oh my.
Yeah.
I think it was more than what she spent on the stuff. Like,
I mean, obviously we didn't ship it then, and you know, it's just insane. And a lot of times, like, you'll see other people on like their Facebook live sales and stuff like that, where they're like, oh, it's only $12 to ship, you know, say like the first sign. A lot of times it is just $12 to ship that sign, if not more. There's times where we'll eat a couple dollars even on the shipping, let alone the materials and our time to wrap it, our time to go to the post office. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's one of those things that kind of, when you start making stuff and want to sell it, you don't necessarily think of those types of things, you know, stocking the correct box sizes and, or making, I've made boxes out of other boxes just because it's what I had. And
that's what I call it. I warn people, I'm like, listen, your box is going to look like Frankenstein, but it's going to arrive okay.
And that's the important part, that it gets there. But I imagine, yeah, with larger items like that, it's probably a lot easier to have the in-person sales or at a storefront where you're not dealing with that shipping packaging aspect of it.
Because some of our signs that we've shipped too have been the old barnwood with like an old hinge in the middle of it. I mean, and that's old metal hinge, and that adds weight. And I'll go to the post office, and I have not been fancy enough yet to figure out how to do it online and have them come here and pick it up and print everything out. I haven't gotten that far to figure it out. I'm sure once I do, I'll be like, what took me so long to do this? But I still am old school, and I'll drive it to the little post office, and I'll sit there. And as she puts it on the scale, I'm like, oh gosh, be good to me today, old scale.
I was going to ask if you had a scale at home or if you just kind of went in blind to what the cost may be once you get there.
We do have a scale. I don't use it very often now I kind of like, listen, if he asks, like, he'll say, did you measure that? Or like on a sign, he'll like, did you use a ruler to write that out? I'll say, yeah, but let me tell you what, these old eyes, they don't fail me very often, just like my hand. So like when I'll weigh a sign, I'll go, that's about a $14. Sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm bad.
That's awesome. So do you schedule the like reoccurring Facebook live sales, or are they just kind of as you have inventory to sell, or is it like a consistency to it?
We tend to do
last
our
year
lives.
We were doing every 2 weeks.
Yeah, we were doing them every 2 weeks, and then we kind of let that die down, and we didn't do any because we just went into the first store. And then over this past summer, we started doing them like the first Sunday of every month. So, and, you know, we'll create events on our page so people will know that we're, you know, doing it. But they've kind of gotten into the habit of knowing like, okay, it's the first Sunday. We do not have one scheduled for the month of December so far, only because, you know, as a maker in the fourth quarter, like, it's a little cray cray. So, we do not have one scheduled so far, but, once you get your people on like a routine with you, they know, and they're like, okay, it's the first Sunday. And, next year our goal is we're amping up our lives, and we're creating a more staged area and an area of our house. We have a little corner right now that we use for our lives up in the studio. But next year we're going to amp it up and do more lifestyle stuff too, besides other signs and stuff like that.
Oh, neat. So you're going to kind of branch out of the product line and make some other pieces as well?
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're teaming up with some people like, with things that we just like in general, you know, like fun t-shirts that'll have like our name on it, and, you know, like candles and stuff like that. So it's just going to be like a whole lifestyle. type of line along with what we do.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, with it just being the two of us, like, you can only do so much. And we do both work our this full time. So, you know, we're just trying to look at other, you know, avenues that we can take as well to keep our business growing.
Yeah. How do you manage your time? Like between actually making things and then the business and marketing, are you a good scheduler? Do you just kind of as needed? I'm an as needed person personally, but I'm looking at it. I haven't quit my job yet, but once I quit and go full time with this, I'm like, all right, I might want to section my day up a little bit so that I'm not just bouncing around as much.
Yeah.
We currently are bouncers.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we do sit down some mornings and make a list for each other, you know, that we're going to do for the day and stuff like that. But
our goal for the new year, I actually already bought a maker's planner for 2020. So it incorporates not only like our own personal family lives, but it also incorporates all the things that makers need to worry about as well, all on one calendar. So our goal is to, we call them board meetings.
Yeah.
So we're just gonna, you know, hopefully meet more and be more regimented. That was probably something somebody going into it, like you said, you know, you're going to, like, our advice to you is be regimented, like have everything scheduled out, like try, because you think, you know, like, oh, I'll have time. You never have time to get caught up or to start. So like once you take that next step into your business, like to do it full time, or even if there's somebody out there thinking like, hey, I want to, you know, maybe do a craft as a side hustle. Even before you start as a side hustle, get all your ducks in a row first, like all your organization, all your paperwork, all your, trust me, people.
It is. It's tough.
You know, like I wish I could sit there and say every Monday and Wednesday I sit down and I do all my paperwork, or, you know, but I am kind of glued to my phone though too, because, you know, social media, that is big on, you know, growing your business and connecting with everybody and messaging, and
it takes a lot of time up.
Yeah.
Answering all the questions.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
It really does. And it can be distracting too, because you want to be responsive that people aren't waiting. If you see a question pop up, I mean, you hear the ding or you see the little notification, but maybe you're in the middle of working and to bounce around like that. I try and schedule stuff out, but then I find things take longer than I think they're going to. So once that happens once, it's just a domino effect. Am I scheduled shot? So I kind of stopped scheduling, but I think that's something I need to revisit.
Yeah.
There's never enough time in the day. Like,
no, there's not.
Said, oh, well, plenty of time, and it just never happens.
Yeah.
So most of your sales come from stores then, and the Facebook Live events, it sounds like. That's pretty awesome. I like the Facebook Live idea. I might have to try that. Have you ever done any raffles or anything like that? Or like other, instead of just paying full price where it's auction type, or I don't know, anything like that?
No, we never did an auction. I know some people I've seen on Facebook do like auctions like that. We've done like a claim it while I paint it. So like I'd go on live and I'd sit there with a bunch of plain, you know, signs in front of me, and people will just hop on and they give me their quote that they would like, or word or something. And I would letter it out as they watched and painted it. And I would just tell them how much it was. And, on the honor system, they'd message me their email, and I would do that, but we've never done an auction or anything like
last
that.
Week we had a clearance sale.
That was
we
crazy.
Had shelves and shelves of signs that just never sold, and we just slashed the prices just to make room.
And that was totally spur of the moment. Tuesday morning I said I'm gonna go live tonight. He's like, well, I have, you know, football, you know, with Zachary. And I was like, well, I said, Audrey and Gavin are here. I'm like, they can help me. So Audrey, the 14-year-old, sat at the computer and we did not do any prep ahead of time. I sat there, Gavin would hand the signs to me, and I just had a sticky note, and I made up a number as we went along, and I looked at it, and I slashed the price right there in my head, and I think we had 75 people watching at one point, which for a Tuesday night, and I didn't build it up on our page at all ahead of time to let people know. I just said, hey, come on tonight at 7 o'clock. Help us clear the shelves. And that was it. And they showed up. We sold out. I think we only had like 3 signs left over out of over 50. So
that sounds pretty effective.
Yeah, that was really good. Now we got some room again.
Yeah.
Back to making.
Yeah.
So where do you get your inspiration from? Like now that you got some free space to fill up on the shelves and you head into the shop, I know you said you were working on a lot of gnomes and they were kind of by request and seasonal, but if it's not around a holiday or anything, where do you kind of draw ideas from?
Well, I mean, obviously you look at the season and as a maker, you're always like a whole season ahead than what's actually out there. I know some people, you know, at October, they're like, oh my gosh, Christmas stuff is coming out, but it happens in the retail world. And it happens in a maker's world too, because when you do make something, you know, like that gnome painting there probably took me an hour and a half to 2 hours almost to paint. So, you know, you have to work ahead. So, and I just tell everybody, I'm like, look, if you're not ready for it, just put your blinders on and keep walking by. And then you have your holly jolly people that are there and hey, it's there for you then. But obviously for me, like you will look, you know, I'll look on like Instagram or Pinterest, like all the different areas that are out there. We always like to put our own little twist on everything though. So you can look at something and be inspired, but it's always fun. Like we kind of brainstorm. He's very famous too for, like, he probably never, like, you would admit you never thought you would do something like this.
Nah.
Yeah.
And when I'm working on something, I'm always thinking what I'm going to work on next. Or, like, if I see a table sitting there, I can be like, oh, I can add this or add that or cut this off or, you know, and just change it up. And
because he does not go on Pinterest.
No,
like, whatever comes out of him. But he'll come in and he'll say, close your eyes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. Like he has come up with like old, like a side, like sofa tables made out of an old ironing board, like a wood ironing board. You've made like side tables out of old shutters and barn wood, plant stands that we've added really thick, chunky barn wood to. That's really rough and gnarly. That, so it's the mixture of like the metal and wood together. Stuff like that all the time.
Every time I look at something, I think, you know, what I can make it into. And it's funny, even when we're out in public, just walking around or doing whatever, I always see something like, oh, I can do that to that, you know. And I'm always thinking.
I'm the same way. And part of the problem is like organizing all those ideas.
Yeah.
Do you have a journal or any way that you kind of like capture those?
I do have a notebook that I write stuff down and, you know, I have it by seasons, you know, by spring, summer, fall, and winter. And then I write down what I, you know, like right now, if I think of something, oh, I want to make that in the summer, I'll write it down in my book. And then, you know, in the summertime, I can go look at it and say, hey, you know, I want to make that. So.
Oh, that's smart. I like the seasonal. That's a good way to do it. And then you have your holidays kind of built in there. And
then there's never enough time. Like I say I have, you know, 5-10 pages of drawings, and it's like I never have time to make any of them or a couple of them, you know. And it's
at least you got that creative part kind of captured.
Right.
It's there for you if you have time.
Yeah.
What do you think is your least favorite part of working for yourself and being a homemaker?
You don't ever have a day off.
Yeah.
But you could if you wanted to, right?
You could. Yeah. Yes, you absolutely could. And I think sometimes that's the misconception too, is that people now think like, he left his job first because I carried the looming health insurance. So until we could get that figured out, he's been working for DGR full time for a little over a year now. I left my full time job in March of this year. So I'll be coming up on a year. But a lot of people think, oh, well, your home. Listen, our home is even more of a hot mess. I cleaned up the kitchen enough behind us just before we came on. You know, people think, oh, you're home, that you have tons of time, and, you know, the laundry's always going to be put away. Like, we're working. Yeah. And, you know, because you are working from home, it's always right there in front of you, too. So I like that we always say, too, that if you work a job you love, you never work a day in your life. So yeah. Even though we do work a lot, it's like we wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah, right.
But yet there are times where, you know, like even just to sit down and watch a movie or something, we're like, okay, we have to stop. Like, you mentally have to tell yourself, I have to stop. Because as a maker, you love what you do so much.
You just want to keep
that
on.
You just want to keep doing it, and yeah. Then you lose track of what the said time? Dishes yeah. And yeah. The said laundry, you know, and you can throw it in between, yeah. You know, everything. But that's I think that's
and your business coach that you're on says we should take a day off a week,
yeah, but at least one day that you do nothing yeah. With your business, but.
That's like
a bowl of like Swedish fish in front of me. I can't not have a Swedish fish if it's right there in front of me, you know? So it is hard. It is very, very hard to do. But I think we do a good job of balancing the kids and stuff, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we went up to the mountains quite a bit this summer with the kids. And
to the cabin. And
I mean, yeah, we took off. But I mean, this time of year is pretty crazy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the end of the end. There's no paid time off anymore. There's
right.
You don't have that benefit that you do when you work at a typical job, or you got to pay your own time off.
Yeah,
it's like I can only imagine. But yeah, I always heard that. I think the saying is to sharpen the saw. If you're a carpenter and you got a pile of wood to cut, you can use the same saw and get through all the wood. But those last couple cuts are going to be pretty difficult. If you take the time after so many to sharpen your saw, each cut's a lot easier. And I think that's, you know, taking that day off, you come back refreshed and new ideas and just ready to hit the ground running, and your output's a little higher than it would be had you been grinding nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What do you think has helped grow your business the most as far as probably like the marketing aspect of it, or getting yourself out there and where you've been able to transition from working another job to this full time?
I know the shows were a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
it's craft probably, shows yeah, stuff. It's probably a combination that led us to work at full time is a combination of the shops that we're
and
in
the shops, yeah.
Plus Facebook.
And Facebook. Yeah.
Facebook really is, I say Facebook, we have an Instagram. I'm not that, techie on Instagram. Yeah, I'm still learning it.
Yeah.
I'm trying, but I mean, Facebook is like my BFF. And I really do love that part of it. I love the marketing part of it. I love the analytics part of it. I love, engaging, you know, with everybody. So it definitely, you know, at first I was like, what the world, you know, Facebook, but as you know, I became more one with it, and learned how to use it to our advantage. It definitely helped, you know, catapult our business just outside of our, you know, small area that we're in, you know, to go across the country and stuff like that. So you definitely, it would behoove of everybody to, you know, learn different parts of Facebook and how you can use it for marketing, because it really could help, you know, move your business up to the next level.
Have you guys ever tried paying for any ads or that aspect of Facebook or Google or anything?
Mm-hmm. We do have a Google business. I don't know. I think I signed up for it. I don't really know what I did with it. It's out there. I don't know what to do with it, though. But we have done ads on Facebook only because we wanted you know, with us doing our live shows and stuff like that, we wanted our page to reach out outside of, you know, 50 miles or whatever of Lancaster and close to the shops and stuff like that. So, we have done ads, but it's not like, you know, we've put a whole lot of money into ads. Yeah, if you do your ads right and stuff like that, you can get a lot of reach with people to get your ads out to the right people that you get the response that you want. So it's just about, you know, again, learning how to, Facebook is there for businesses. You just have to learn how it can work for you and your business.
That's awesome. So you would use the ads more to market your live events?
Yeah, we just use the ads really just to get page likes, just to have them onto our page and just get to know us and see us, you know, and then
target that age range.
Yeah, too. There's different target markets that you would want, you know, for everybody that, you know, who obviously he is not our target market. Okay.
Exactly.
This guy, he's probably gonna be all embarrassed now, but this guy here, like he races like motocross and stuff like that. He will not ride on roller coasters, but he will have no problem flying through the air on a dirt bike. And he's been in races and stuff, but so his Facebook is filled with like four wheelers and dirt bikes and all of that. I do not want DGR showing up on his Facebook because I will pay for that at that, like, you know, link or whatever to go out to him, and that's a waste of our money. So, you know, it's learning who your target market is and getting the right people to find your page. And then once you you know, have them on your page, you just have to be engaging. You have to, you know, talk and show and do different things that, you know, the people who like your page want to see. And that's where the fun comes in, because really the target market is me. So, because I would, but like I, you know, the stuff we make, like I like it. So like that, the other people that are on our page for the most part are, you know, women, you know, between like 25 to 45 and, you know, decorating and stuff like that. So.
And I can see that the authenticity you put into it speaks directly to your market then. So it's a direct, the people that see that, they understand it, they get it, and of course, yeah, they want to then buy it. I haven't tried doing any advertising yet because I looked at it and there's a lot to learn there. So I'm always curious.
It is. It's very overwhelming, and it could be nerve-wracking at first too, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm paying for this. But, you know, once you learn, you know, Facebook and the ads and stuff like that. Like I said, I mean, Facebook, other than, you know, paying for ads and stuff, it's free. So it's free advertising. I mean, you have to abide by the rules and everything like that, but like it's out there for you. So you definitely can make it work for your business to build on it. And I think that's where, cause I mean, what was it? 2 years ago? It was 2 years ago that it showed up on a memory for us in August. So it was 2 years and what, 2-3 months ago, we had 75 people on our Facebook page. And I can tell you, they were probably all friends at that time.
That's about where I'm at.
Yeah. Now, 2 years later, I think we're at like 11,100 something.
Wow.
So it's just a matter of, you know, building your page, and not all of that was always paid ads either. You know, it's, you know, going out to shows and, you know, through the shops and, you know, just getting to know people in the community and stuff like that, that it's an organic reach too. It's not a paid reach. It's organic. Like, you've earned it type of thing.
Right. So have you guys ever tried selling on Etsy or any other platform?
No. I know we've talked about Etsy and Amazon Handmade is another one. But honestly, with just the two of us right now, our business coach keeps telling us that we need to hire somebody, but like,
which we should. I mean, we could use people, but
how do you even do that?
Yeah.
I haven't even figured out QuickBooks yet, let alone like hire somebody. What is she talking about? So we definitely we're very happy with the the two shops that we're in, and then what we got going on, you know, through our Facebook page with our lives and just the messages that come in that way.
That's great. Yeah, I think about that too, and learning QuickBooks. And again, it's like the ads. I don't even know where to start. That sometimes I think maybe hiring somebody would be easier, but then I'm scared that you'll be taken advantage of because I don't know what they're doing or something along those lines. But I can see how freeing up that time so I didn't have to worry about it, so I could create more stuff would be nice.
That's what they say. Yeah, that's what she keeps saying to us. But see, in my brain, I'm like, all right, fine. So then you hire somebody. Well, then how do you do the taxes? Like, how do you do the withholdings? Or we're just learning like all of that gobbledygook with ourselves, with submitting the quarterly. Like, we need to really get an accountant. Like, I am not a CPA. I mean, we have an accountant, but like, I would love an accountant to hand my folder to and say, here you go. Do it for us.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. I do not enjoy sitting down. Right now we still, like I said, we bought QuickBooks Pro, we bought the business version, and we invested in it, and here it sits on our laptop. I got it installed, and that was a win, and now I don't know what to do with it.
It's like you said, it's just a lot of time, you know. And
well, and that's not part of my brain. Yeah. Like, I'm not a financial person, so we use the good old-fashioned Google Docs. And we have different documents to literally sit there, and I will type out the receipts, where I went, the date, and the amount. Next line, where I went, the date, and the amount. And we have a little notebook and a pen and paper, for our mileage and stuff like that in the truck. And so there are a lot of different, I know there's different apps you can use to track your miles. I mean, there's so many techie things that you can do, but we really are old school.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. It's easier on paper. If I can keep track of all the paper, because I tend to like grab whatever's closest to me and jot it down. And then I have four different notebooks started and nothing's kind of in one spot, but I feel better because I wrote it down.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what I've heard too. Like, I used to think to be a jack of all trades, you know, it's good to be good at everything. And then lately, I've been hearing more along the lines of, no, focus on what you like doing and get really good at that. And the stuff you don't like doing, hire somebody to do or collaborate with somebody. Or it's not worth spreading your skill set thin, taking away from something you enjoy to do something you don't, if there's another way around it. So I'm still trying to figure out the best way to implement that strategy. But I think the first step is identifying what I don't like doing. And I'm with you there. All the taxes and the expenses is gobbledygook. That's so true. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about with your business? I think it's really cool just hearing from a couple who work together and, you know, have kind of started this just, you know, out of your love for creating and found a community that appreciate what you did, and you're able to do this full time. It's inspirational for me. Like, you know, this can work, this can happen, just start doing it. I really appreciate meeting you guys. It's cool to hear other stories. I'll definitely link to all your websites and social medias in the show notes. And if you have any other resources or tips that you want to share with people who are interested either in the woodworking and hand-painted sign aspect, or in the working from home and kind of, you know, your business coach, if you want to share that, if that's been helpful to you that you want to pass on to someone, we'll link to all that. If you guys had anything else to add before we wrap up here.
I just think it's like hard work pays off the way it should, you know, and
it's not always easy.
I mean, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I mean, it's hard work, you know, and work every day, but we just really enjoy, you know, when you enjoy doing something, it's,
you know, and sometimes people have said to us too, like when we were talking about like you leaving your job first and stuff, and then myself, some people have said, oh, do you have a whole year of savings?
Yeah.
No. We enjoyed working together, and we reached a point where he said to me, something's got to give. Like, either we go for DGR or we have to cut back and stop, like, and just keep working our full-time jobs. And neither of us wanted to give up DGR.
Yeah, our dream, you know.
You live once, and knock on wood that, you know, so far we've been very blessed and fortunate with it. And hopefully, you know, our business continues to go in that way. But if for whatever reason, you know, it doesn't, like, we can say that we tried and we gave everything that we had. And, you know, I think we'll always look back on this time and go, holy moly, like, we did it.
Yeah, we sat and talked a lot when I first started to think about cutting back work, that, you know what, like, is this the right thing to do? And then we just kept saying, you know what, you live once, like, go for it. And if not, you know, you make something work, you know, you get another job or go back to your old job or whatever. And yeah, like she said, it's hopefully it keeps going, you know, the way it is. And
yeah, that's, I mean, I could see myself saying exactly what you said. You only live once, and I don't wake up every morning excited to go to my job and always looking forward to Friday. It just seems like I'm wishing my life away. Yeah, and it doesn't seem like a way that I want to live without trying another way, at least. Yeah. And like you said, just to try it. If it doesn't work out, hey, I go to my grave knowing I tried.
Exactly.
Well, awesome. Thank you guys so much. It was great to talk to you. I wish you all the best. And I will post all your stuff and support you. I look forward to seeing you out at some shows, maybe. I'm going to check out one of your Facebook Lives because I want to see how you run it, because I think it's a great idea.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks.
We've enjoyed talking with you,
Good
too.
Good luck
Thank
to you.
You,
too. Yep.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Talk all to you
right.
later.
You. See
ya. Bye. Bye.
What a great story where a husband and wife join forces, sell an old car, work together, and really pursue their dream. Go give them a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Down Greenville Road. And until next time, I'm Josh Myers with Handmade Pennsylvania.